RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo calls for ASEAN UN partnership to eradicate poverty in Southeast Asia. Indonesia pushes for ASEAN-Japan maritime partnership. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has underscored the importance of ASEAN UN partnership to eradicate poverty and promote public health in Southeast Asia. He made the remarks at the 8th ASEAN UN Summit, which brought together ASEAN leaders and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in Vientiane, Laos on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo also remarked that ASEAN, which is still home to 120 million poor people, must ensure that the Agenda 2030 in the field of poverty eradication can be achieved by organizing vocational training, increasing production capacity, making innovation, promoting micro, small, and medium entrepreneurs, and expanding access to financial inclusion. It is important for ASEAN to ensure that poverty eradication program will be incorporated to the 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda. In the health sector, the Indonesian leader has expressed the hope that the two organizations can cooperate enhancing regional resilience to the outbreak of communicable diseases such as SARS, bird flu, AIDS, and non-communicable diseases such as heart attack, cancer, and diabetes. President Joko Widodo has urged the ASEAN member countries and China to find ways to achieve peace in South China Sea at the 19th ASEAN-China Summit in Vientiane, Laos on Wednesday. He also said the partnership between ASEAN and China should be able to realize peace, stability, and security in South China Sea. President Joko Widodo also asserted the partnership between ASEAN and China has to be able to attain peace, stability, and security in South China Sea by respecting the international law. He also argued that declaration on conduct of parties in the South China Sea should be implemented fully and effectively. President Joko Widodo also explained that code of conduct should be completed soon because the South China Sea territory is not an area for martial flexing by big powers. On the same occasion, President Joko Widodo also encouraged ASEAN and China to promote stability and security along the main sea lane in the region. He also said that the related states should start implementing East Asia Summit Statement on Enhancing Regional Maritime Cooperation, which was agreed upon in 2015. President Joko Widodo also expressed that this is important in order to enhance the level of trust among the countries in the region. This year, ASEAN and China are commemorating the 25th anniversary of partnership as China became an ASEAN dialogue partner in 1991. In the future, President emphasized that ASEAN and China should prioritize balance and mutually beneficial economic relations. Indonesia is pushing for strengthening cooperation in maritime and human resource fields between the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN members, and Japan, since they can be regional partners. President Joko Widodo gave a call for this at the 19th ASEAN-Japan Summit at the National Convention Center, Vientiane, Laos, on Wednesday. He said that he considered Japan an important partner of ASEAN member countries. President Joko Widodo views that for more than 40 years, the partnership between ASEAN and Japan has proven strong and has contributed to peace, regional stability, and achievement of common welfare. He reminded that this loan partnership was the main capital on which ASEAN and Japan can build further to ensure that people reap the real benefits. Indonesian Social Security Administration Body for Employment, BPJSDK, has called on countries in the Global South to find funding alternative to ensure the coverage of informal and vulnerable workers. In a statement started on Wednesday, BPJSDK President Director Agus Susanto said that one of the greatest challenges identified by leaders in the labor sector and social security providers allied is ensuring the protection of informal and vulnerable workers. Informal workers include non-salary employees or those earning without a routine amount of wages each month. The vulnerable workers include former workers and others who are prone to falling into poverty and being injured or killed in a workplace accidents. Agus made the comments on the International Labour Organization China-ASEAN meeting in Beijing, focusing on social protection. Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand agree on sharing job market information via online service in order to reduce illegal migrant workers coming to the countries. The head of the International Cooperation Bureau at the Indonesian Manpower Ministry, Indah Anggoro Putri, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the information sharing on job market helps the three countries to build the sub-regional job markets. Hopefully, the migrant workers will be distributed well according to job availability. The agreement was initiated at the 6th Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle IMTGT meeting on human resources development in Jakarta on September 7. IMTGT is a sub-regional economic cooperation that was established in 1993. It has a strategic role in improving development in border areas among the three countries. There are 10 provinces in Sumatra belonging to IMTGT members. The last item, Indonesian government is set to offer 600 megawatt electricity potential in Jatiluhur Reservoir to provide the sector once the legal framework and tender mechanism are completed. Public Works Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said that his ministry is working to encourage public-private cooperation in Jatiluhur power plant, but there is yet a regulation on the utilization of state products. He added that so far the operating project is the construction of Lodagund Mini Hydro Power Plant by Perun Jasa Tirtawan in Blitar East Java. Mr. Basuki also said that the government and the International Finance Corporation IFC are assessing fit and proper tests on the projects. The financial institute will help find potential investor. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Discourse to Imitate Neighbor Style to Fight Drug Crimes. Drug crime has become a serious problem for many countries. Despite of addressing differently each country, does want the crime that may bring about a long impact on the future generation of the country to be completely destroyed as soon as possible. Conversely, it is like a fungus that grows in the rainy season. The number of drug dealers and users has increased more recently. That's why Indonesia has confirmed that the current situation is in drug emergency. That execution for drug masterminds has already been done for 3 times, but it seems that this execution does not result in maximum deterrent effect. Head of the National Narcotic Agency, BNN, Budi Waseso, raised a discourse on which Indonesia can imitate the extreme step taken by the President of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte. For several months during the presidency of Duterte, hundreds of people allegedly linked to drug trafficking were killed in what it is called a gun battle with law enforcement officers. The number of victims reported by Sun Media does not include the death at the hands of the non-police parties. The impact of the decisive step taken by President Duterte is remarkable. At least it can be seen from the number of suspected traffickers and drug users who ultimately decided to surrender themselves. However, some human rights activist groups assessed that there has been a major human rights abuse in the Philippines. Honestly, what President Duterte reminds the people of Indonesia in the mysterious shooting, commonly called as Petrus during 1980s. This tragedy is touted as a covert operation run by the government to combat crime that occurred at the time. So what happened in the Philippines and Indonesia during New Order has similarities and differences. The activities performed equally disregarded the rule of law and justice as well as trigger uncontrolled reaction by the public. The difference is that the sporadic fighting against the perpetrators in Indonesia was closed, while in the Philippines it was campaigned openly by President Duterte. Every crime that brings about the destruction of the future generation must be dealt with firmly. Any policy to be taken for that purpose would be supported by the community, but the discourse to follow what the leader of the Philippines should be, of course, considered more seriously and prudently. Indonesia will not return to the period of conducting something unlawful. However, Indonesia must avoid innocent casualties, so there is no chance for those who want to trigger trouble situation, including preventing the possible emergence of horizontal conflicts. Since the beginning of the reform era, Indonesian nation has been committed to making the law as a commander in the state and nation. Therefore, law enforcement must be carried out in appropriate ways stipulated in the law itself. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet you again in our regular program Today in History over Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, we start with the event on September 8, 1994, when U.S. Air Flight 427 crashed. U.S. Air Flight 427 was a scheduled flight from Chicago O'Hare International Airport to Pittsburgh International Airport with the final destination of West Palm Beach, Florida. On Tuesday, September 8, 1994, the Boeing 737 plane is route crashed while approaching runway 28R of the Pittsburgh International Airport located in Finland Township, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. At the time, it was the largest hub for the airline. All 132 people on board were killed. The next event is about International Literacy Day. September 8 was proclaimed as International Literacy Day by UNESCO on November 17, 1965. Its aim is to highlight the importance of literacy to individuals, communities, and societies. On International Literacy Day each year, UNESCO reminds the international community of the status of literacy and adult learning globally. Celebrations take place around the world. The last event was in 2004 when Andi Muhammad Yusuf Amir passed away. Andi Muhammad Yusuf Amir was born in Kajuara, Bone, South Sulawesi on 23rd of June 1928. Passed away in Makassar, South Sulawesi, Indonesia on September 8, 2004 at the age of 76 years. Andi, who was more commonly known as M. Yusuf, was an Indonesian military general. M. Yusuf is a national figure who has major services in development in South Sulawesi and in Indonesia. He is also a warrior that is decisive, honest, clean and bold. Indonesian nation truly lost one of the best sons and role models who continued to devote himself to the nation until his death. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listeners, you again. I'm here, Mana Ratmana, in our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's Focus is that implementing ASEAN Economic Community, 12,000 drivers from the Philippines will enter Indonesia. Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, said there will be 12,000 drivers who are internationally licensed from the Philippines to come to Indonesia. The drivers coming to Indonesia is the result of the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. This was announced by Minister Effendi during the opening of Indonesian Cultural Week 2016 in the Hall of Malang Regency on last Friday. He said that of the 12,000 drivers, 40% are female drivers. In regard to this, the government of Indonesia will promote vocational education for Indonesian students. This is aimed at creating human resources as employees with reliable skills. Because Indonesia needs skillful employees to face the employment challenges in the future. Thus, Minister Effendi asks Indonesian people, especially students, to be oriented to excellent skill when entering senior high schools. As a result, after finishing from senior high schools, the student can find their job more easily. Minister Muhajir Effendi added that currently the government is promoting vocational education. The government hopes that students who are graduated from vocational high school, or locally called SMK, can instantly work, so they do not have to be forced to continue to college level. Meanwhile, East Java Governor Soekarwo also expressed the same statement. He views that Indonesia needs skillful workers. Therefore, a number of EAC member states are ready to enter Indonesia. In fact, there are some countries that teach Indonesian in their school and college. He said that in the Philippines, the college has been teaching Indonesian, and those who have learned Indonesian are ready to enter Indonesia. Governor Soekarwo also said Indonesia still lacks of skillful workers, mainly related to the understanding of modern technologies. He cited that a number of health personnel are ultimately unable to compete because of limitation of understanding to operate the advanced medical technology. He also cited that some of Indonesian overseas nurses who work in the modern hospitals could not operate the appliance. In fact, in foreign countries, more nurses are needed. Take, for example, United States lacks of 2,500 nurses. Australia also needs around 150 nurses. Unfortunately, the request cannot be fulfilled because they should be able to operate the sophisticated equipment. Listener, that was Focus Today. Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has underscored the importance of ASEAN-UN partnership to eradicate poverty and promote public health in Southeast Asia. President Joko Widodo has urged the ASEAN member countries and China to find ways to achieve peace in South China Sea at the 19th ASEAN-China Summit in Vientiane, Laos on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo also encouraged ASEAN and China to promote stability and security along the main sea lane in the region. He also said that the related states should start implementing the East Asia Summit Statement on enhancing regional maritime cooperation, which was agreed upon in 2015. Indonesia is pushing for strengthening cooperation in maritime and human resource fields between the Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN members and Japan, since they can be regional partners. Indonesian Social Security Administration Body for Employment, BPJSTK, has called on countries in the Global South to find funding alternatives to ensure the coverage of informal and vulnerable workers. Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand agree on sharing job market information via online service in order to reduce illegal migrant workers coming to the countries. Indonesian government is set to offer 600 megawatt electricity potential in Jatiluhur Reservoir to private sector once the legal framework and tender mechanism are completed. Public Works Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said that his ministry is working to encourage public-private cooperation in Jatiluhur power plant. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Listener, it's a great pleasure to meet you again in the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder. Today's edition, we will present to you about Ngobak Lowi tradition Dawa. Stay tuned. Garut Regency has a potential in an amazing natural tourism. In the southern part of the Regency, there are a lot of tourism attractions which present beautiful natural charm. The objects are, among others, Sayang Helang Beach, Santolo, Ranca Buaya, Sancang Forest, Lalai Cave, Mount Geder, Manulus Park, and Clear River heading to the sea, such as Cipasarangan River. Cipasarangan River split Duku Village in Cikelet, where the river empties to the Indian Ocean. On the river, the local tradition is celebrated annually, namely Ngobak Lowi tradition. Ngobak Lowi tradition is an event to look for some fishes, which is done by people mutually in Cipasarangan River. The tradition is an expression of gratitude people in Cikelet for all of the grace that have been given by God Almighty, especially for health, after performing fasting in Ramadan. They get together with family to complete the happiness. This kind of tradition is also held to arouse people's awareness to preserve the river area which have sustained people's lives. Listener, Ngobak Lowi tradition is often held 2 days after the Idul Fitri holiday. Before performing this tradition, 10 quintal of catfish, goldfish, parrot, and tawas with an average weight from 4 to 6 ounces are put in Cipasarangan River a few weeks before the event. The fish will be grabbed by people. When the tradition starting, people will do kawin chai, which takes the water from the springs located in Duku Village, and ciroyom by using lodong or 1 meter long bamboo. The water is then poured out on the bridge. When Ngobak Lowi is performed, the local people around the Cipasarangan River will go to pool or the deeper side of the river to hold ngobak or to catch fishes by hands. The tradition that has been started since 2010 is now included into the agenda of Cipasarangan Festival. The festival is held by presenting cultural art performances and various local wisdom growing and developing in Cikelet. Besides ngobak tradition, there are other traditional miscellaneous art at the festival, starting from martial arts and traditional music such as terbang gembrung or terbang sejak traditions. Listener, that was our today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Ngobak Lowi tradition. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. Goodbye for now.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener, recently Indonesia has successfully broke the world record. The award was received from Record Holder Republic Registry of Official World Record. The England-based record company itself is an agency that specifies in awarding the unique and the most talented formation to get world record. What kind of activity that recently was recorded by Record Holder Republic Registry of Official World Record? Today's edition of Miscellany will give you a complete information. Stay tuned. Listener, mosaic is an art to create image by resemble pieces such as rock, glass, fabrics, hat, or even papers. Today, mosaic has become a promotion media to campaign many things and used by many agencies. Mosaic is also used as promotion media by Bogor Agriculture Institute or IPB to receive the Record Holder Republic Registry of Official World Record or RHR Award. IPB has successfully broke the most mosaic picture formation in IPB Dramaga Campus, Bogor Regency, West Java on Tuesday, August 30, 2016. The efforts involve new students of bachelor and diploma degree in IPB by using the Astura papers, duplex card, and banner. They create 7 unique formation of mosaic in 42 minutes. The 7 mosaic formation are formed into words that reads, agriculture is my spirit, IPB is my pride, let's make it come true. They also create images from banner, padi 3S, which is a padi variety found by IPB researchers. Indonesia image that reads kerja nyata or concrete work. IPB logo as well as the IPB satellite image, our gift for Indonesia. According to Chairman of New Students' Acknowledgement of 53's IPB Bachelor, Husi Ainul Fawaid, the record-breaking is an international achievement that makes proud of IPB. The success of the world-breaking record is a wonderful gift for the 53rd graduation of IPB. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about mosaic information of Bogor Agriculture Institute breaks the world record. We meet again with another interesting topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition will present you to an Indonesian talented pop singer, Harvey Maliholo. To initiate
the segment, let's enjoy the first song sung by Harvey Malaiholo entitled Dara.
Dara, aku melihatmu hanyut dalam gerakanmu. Penuh pesona, binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh Dara, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum.
Harvey's talent in singing is inherited from his grandfather, who has a good talent in singing and popular in Indonesia during the post-independence of Indonesia, Bram Aceh. Harvey's grandfather is active in the Association of Hawaiian Music. No wonder if Harvey following his grandfather in singing, who has a golden voice. Harvey also has a golden voice, which has been proven in some Indonesian pop song festivals. Harvey has always been a winner. After he won the radio and television singing contest in 1998, his debut began to shine. A lot of recording companies scrambled to record his voice to be commercialized, especially after he made a duet with an Indonesian female singer, Rafika Duri. His popularity is then getting more increased. Harvey and Rafika Duri created some duet albums, and spread in Indonesian music industries. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song by Harvey and Rafika Duri. The song Cinta Pertama has a strength of tone with good lyrics, which is related to first love that become the sweet memory belongs to everyone. Harvey's popularity lasted only for a decade, although his songs are still enjoyed by Indonesian music lovers. And to end this program, we will listen to a song from Harvey. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Rinduku menggapai dalam anganku saat ku ingat dirimu menyentuh kalbuku. Hanyalah bayanganmu hadir dalam rinduku, seakan tersenyum untukku, menatapku. Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku, oh, merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Apakah kau merasakan hal yang sama saat ku memanggil namamu saat ini? Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku, merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Oh, ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku, oh, merintih hatiku kini rindukanmu.
dapat bayangkan lagi. Saat diriku terlupa, lupakan senyum manismu. Maafkanlah aku lagi, senyum manismu. Maafkanlah aku lagi, oh sayang, yeah. Takkan ada cinta yang dapat merebut hatiku. Takkan ada cinta yang dapat
kamu hampir setiap malam. tiap bunyi berdiri langsung tuangkan telponku, berharap itu dari kamu. Berkali-kali aku SMS kamu, berkata saya aku ucapkan kamu gak tahu apa gak mau.
Tidur kekasih gelapku, semoga cepat kau lupakan aku. Kekasih sejatimu takkan pernah sanggup untuk melupakanmu. Selamat tinggal kasih tak terungkap, semoga kau lupakan aku cepat. Kasih sejatimu takkan pernah sanggup untuk meninggalkanmu. Hey Sophia, jangan pernah panggil namaku bila kita bertemu lagi di lain hari.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.